All right. Well, another big story we're following today is the latest recall announcement from General Motors. More than 8 million cars were recalled yesterday, many of them for the faulty ignition switches that GM says have been a factor in 13 deaths. The automaker has also set up a compensation program for the families of the victims and people injured in the crashes. Ken Feinberg is the claims administrator, a role he knows very well. He oversaw the 9/11 Victims Fund, the fund for the Virginia Tech massacre, the Colorado theater shootings, the BP oil spill, and the Boston Marathon bombings. He joins us from Washington. Ken Feinberg, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, you've been in charge of now so many funds like this one, and I wonder, just on a basic level, how do you place a value on a human life?
You try and do what judges and juries do every day in every court around the country. You try and determine first, what would the victim have earned over a lifetime of work but for the tragedy, the death, or the catastrophic injury? And secondly, what should we add in the way of pain and suffering, emotional distress? Add those two calculations, and you come up with value. What I try and explain to people all the time, I am not placing a value on any individual's moral integrity or worth to others. I can't do that. Rabbis and priests maybe can do that. I can't do that. All I can do is what judges and juries try and do every day.
And is that the same formula that you have used for victims of 9/11 and the Boston bombings and the BP oil spill?
Well, certainly for 9/11 and the BP oil spill, because those are alternatives to litigation. If you take 9/11 money, or you take BP oil spill money, or GM money, you are waiving your right to litigate. Not so One Fund Boston. One Fund Boston, Newtown, Connecticut, Virginia Tech, Aurora, Colorado, those are all gift programs from private donors. You can take that charitable money and hire a lawyer if you want. Those are not alternatives to the tort system.
Well, for the 9/11 fund, the average payout for people who made death claims was around $2 million. Do you have a number in mind for death claims in the GM case?
Not yet, but I think those numbers are low for the GM cases. I don't know. We'll have to look at the death cases.
Why are they low?
Well, because the since 9/11, for example, the pain and suffering, the average pain and suffering awards, 12, 13 years later from 9/11, during 9/11 they were about $250,000. Today they're $750,000, and in this protocol they are $1 million for the death of the victim. So just the increase, cost of living and the increase in verdicts and settlements mean that those 2001 numbers will be, I think, clearly higher.
Are you going to consider circumstance in any of these decisions? There's a case of one woman whose GM car crashed and her boyfriend was killed, and she was fined for reckless driving. Would something like that figure into your calculation?
I'll say that person should forego track A, like the 9/11 fund here, where you get sort of a presumptive award based on national averaging. You, claimant, have an extraordinary circumstance. For 10 years, you have had a felony in your record for reckless driving because no one knew it was the ignition switch. By all means, that's a factor. What is not a factor, by the way, and what I will ignore, is the driver's contributory negligence, speeding, intoxication, text messaging while you're driving. Anything to do with the driver's contributory negligence, irrelevant here.
Well, and you have said that if the airbag deployed, don't even bother trying to get this.
That's right. I mean, as far as I can tell, and I'm not an automotive engineer, but everybody tells me if the airbag deployed, the power's on. And if the power's on, it's not an ignition switch turning the car off. So if the airbag deployed, you're not eligible. On the other hand, if you don't know whether the airbag deployed or not, or if the airbag did not deploy, file a claim.
Is GM going to be able to be involved in your decision one way or another?
GM can certainly provide me any additional information it wants to provide me about a claim, just like the claimant can come and see me and provide me any additional information. But under this protocol, I have sole discretion to render a decision. Once I render a decision on eligibility and amount, GM must pay it. They cannot challenge it. They cannot appeal it. They have agreed to be bound by this delegated authority they have given me to render all final determinations.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Ken Feinberg. He is in charge of the General Motors Compensation Fund for the victims and families and the people injured in crashes related to defective ignition switches in GM cars. The automaker says 13 deaths have been linked to that problem so far. Advocates for the victims say the figure is really a lot higher than that. And Ken Feinberg, you have been in charge of so many of these compensation funds now, 9/11, Virginia Tech, the BP oil spill. And in some of these funds, people have agreed not to sue in order to claim money. Why is that a better system than going to court and suing and having a jury decide?
If you want to wait and wait and wait, under this program, you're not obligated to waive your right to sue until you've filed a claim with me and you've learned what I will do with that claim in terms of eligibility and amount. Only then, after you've had this free preview, do you opt to stay in the program and relinquish your right to litigate, or, nope, I tried it, and I'm going to sue. Now, we will render a decision within 90 days from the time you have given me a substantially complete application, or if it's a very complicated case, within 180 days. But compare that to the time it would take to litigate, and if you litigate, contributory negligence, the bankruptcy bar might be a barrier of GM's bankruptcy. You are taking the uncertainty of litigation. So I think here, I would urge everybody to at least give it a try. Let's see if you're eligible, and let's see if the amount is sufficient to get you to relinquish your right to litigate.
You keep mentioning that you've got to get it out fast, which makes perfect sense. But why is that such an important part of what you do? Wouldn't it be fine if it took another year or 2 years?
No, I don't think so. The one thing more than anything, I think, that victims, survivors, family members, or injured victims lack in their lives is certainty. Everything is uncertain. Their lives have been ripped asunder. What they thought was the plan is not the plan. They have to learn to work a wheelchair, or they've lost a loved one who won't be coming home. I think the quicker the certainty of getting financial relief out the door, many of these people need this money. The idea of delaying distributions and waiting while people are waiting and waiting who need the money, I think is a mistake. I don't think there is one aspect of these various programs I've accomplished more important than getting money out fast, even if it means rough justice as to who gets what. It's more important to get the money out, I think, than take the time and expense, I might add, of micromanaging the facts of every claim. It is, to me, a wasted opportunity.
How many claims are you expecting?
Oh, I don't know. We'll get. You guys know this. You build a program like this, they will come. I guarantee we'll get thousands of ineligible claims. And I don't mean ineligible close questions. When you announce a compensation program, I wouldn't be surprised if I get claims from people driving a Mercedes, a Jaguar, a truck. People really do believe that every ill that they have suffered is directly attributable to this ignition switch. And I suspect we will, based on the very comprehensive notice program with letters being sent around the country to people all over the North America, I suspect we'll get a fair number of invalid claims.
At the same time, you're also going to get a lot of valid claims. And I wonder if it gets any easier for you to hear people talk about losing loved ones, about terrible personal trauma that they've suffered after you've, as we said, have dealt with this with the BP oil spill and the Boston bombings and 9/11 and Virginia Tech and on and on.
No. No, it never gets easier. I'm asked all the time, what is the single toughest part of this? Clearly, not even close. It is agreeing, as you must, to meet with any family that lost a loved one as a result of the crash, or somebody who comes to see me with horrible, catastrophic injuries, like a quadriplegic or a person with no limbs, and listen to them not talk about money. People rarely want to talk about money. They want to do two things. First, Mr. Feinberg, I'm coming to see you to vent about life's unfairness. Why me? What did I ever do to lose my daughter or to lose my limbs? You're giving me money? What about my loss? Or they come to validate the memory of a lost loved one. Mr. Feinberg, you never met my daughter. She was just wonderful. I want to show you a photograph album. I want to show you her report card. I want to show you ribbons, medals, certificates, diplomas. It is agonizing, but you give people the opportunity to articulate what they feel. And it is debilitating. It is stressful. It is something you never forget, but it's something you have to do as part of a program like this.
Well, what have you learned about doing your job that you didn't know when you did this the first time?
No, there are some very valuable lessons. You better put aside your law degree. Your law degree doesn't help in these cases. Better a divinity degree or a degree in psychiatry, but learn every time how to empathize with people. Empathize. Sincerity. And above all, learn to become a good listener. People want to vent. They want an audience. They want to be heard. And you better be a good listener. Because there's very little you can say to people like this that is going to be meaningful. They are emotional and they are distraught. And well understood, and they should be emotional and distraught. They're human. And brace yourself. That's the lesson I've learned. Brace yourself for the emotional trauma that goes with programs like this.
Why do you keep saying yes when people ask you to do this?
Well, first, you try saying no to President Bush or President Obama. I mean, the 9/11 fund, that's coming from the top. BP, President Obama... wanted me to do it. Some of these other programs, like GM or One Fund Boston, Mayor Menino called me. Get up here. Get up to your own home, your old home state. I'm a lawyer. I believe in public service. I believe what President Kennedy said about giving back to your country and trying to help. Everybody can make a difference. The communitarian ethic. I think there are millions of Americans that would do what I would do if they were asked to do it. So I do it.
Ken Feinberg is the claims administrator for the GM Ignition Compensation Program. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.